dated. You got to give your mouth a rest. So greedy. I wish you could have waited, but you just love to stuff your face. Baby, you're already fixated. You got to give your mouth.
Welcome to the Oral Fix Podcast, episode number 9, topic polyamorous relationships this week. Oral Fix is a weekly social commentary podcast for the gay community. I am Henry Diaz.
And I am Drew Brown.
We are your hosts of the Oral Fix. How are you this week?
I'm good. I've had better weeks, but I'm okay.
Really? What's been going on? Give us a check-in, biatch.
finding out about the loss of, you know, Amy Winehouse, which, you know, I was a huge fan, and, you know, the show, you know, we decided to dedicate all of the music to her, because to me, she was one of my favorites. She really was, like, our generation, you know, answer to, like, Billie Holiday. She had, like, an old soul, and her lyrics are just really touch you. The things that everyone has gone through in terms of dating and love and relationships and all kinds of stuff. To get really relate to them, she has a way of kind of taking that old sound and making it modern with twists with her lyrics and everything. So it was really, really sad to hear about her dying. I thought she was going to be able to pull herself together and do it, and kind of make a comeback, and unfortunately, she was not. That didn't happen. So that was really, really sad. And then also, one of my close family members, Forrest, died. So, you know, it's been a lot of deaths around, so it's been kind of a very somber week. So just kind of getting back to the groove, even though it's a very sunny day here in New York. It's kind of, you know, very emotional week, to say the least.
I'm sorry to hear that. My condolences to your family, which I already know, but our audience don't know. It's always hard to hear family members that go, people who you're close to, and people you start to get to know, kind of like Amy Winehouse, and then all of a sudden, it's like, poof, they're gone. I mean, that they almost feel like, I know for me, I remember when Kurt Cobain passed away, I was a huge fan of Nirvana back then, and it didn't feel real. It didn't feel real, like, for several years. Does it feel like that for you ever?
Definitely. I mean, there's definitely some people, you know, and it's really sad, too, and it's like, you know, especially when I was, like, reading up on her, like, you know, seeing the people who have died, you know, at the age of 27, and Kurt Cobain was one of them, Jim Morrison, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, like, you know, it's really sad that we've lost some amazing talent. And, you know, like, it also goes to show that, like, you know, it doesn't matter how much money you have or whatever, it doesn't, that's not always the answer, you know. And sometimes, you know, we feel like, oh, money would make my life, you know, so much better. But sometimes, you know, it doesn't. So, you know, we have to still deal with our problems, you know, regardless of if we're rich or not. I mean, our problems are not going to ever, you know, go away. And so it's really sad that, you know, we've lost so many great, you know, talented people at such a young age, like Kurt Cobain and Jim Morrison and The Doors, you know, and now Amy Winehouse. It's really sad. She was an amazing talent. So it's really sad that she's no longer with us. So
I think those are really great words and words of wisdom that you just expressed. Money can't buy you anything, and fame certainly can't either. Mm-hmm. Not in the afterlife. You don't take any of that stuff with you. I've grown to believe that dealing with a lot of that's personal and my family that, you know, your spirit just continues on. And, you know, why worry over the stresses here, especially when it comes to material possessions, things that are physical, we don't take them with us when we pass away. And I also come from the school of belief, the thought that our souls continue on forever, and there is such a thing as reincarnation. But, you know, the flip side to it, which I like to think about a lot, is, you know, do we really remember our past lives? And that's kind of sad. When I think about that, it's almost like, whoa, do we, you know, are we going to remember our sisters and brothers and all of that? And it, you know, I don't know what happens, but I certainly, you know, I started to admire and respect Amy Winehouse's work. And I'm certainly, you know, I'm at a loss because I really thought that she would really go to rehab and train her, get a hold of her disease and work out any, you know, issues that she was going through. Because they say alcoholism and addiction is a spiritual disease. It's, you know, and that's also a physical, you know, disease, but it's a malady of the spirit. And it manifests itself in the physical form.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of talk that's been going on, too, and they're trying to, you know, they don't really know exactly what caused her death. But the family is saying that it wasn't, you know, it wasn't an overdose or as what people, what many people assumed. Some people are saying that her body was, she died of a seizure, and because of her body was going through alcohol withdrawal. And I've never heard of this. But I guess if you do drink that much, I mean, it could, you know, your body does go through drug withdrawal, so it kind of makes sense. That, you know, her father was saying that she couldn't quit cold turkey, that she had to kind of, like, wean herself off because she has been drinking and drugging for such a long time. So it was kind of like a shock to her body. And so they're thinking that that is what caused her to pass. And so... you know, it's really sad. It's just a really sad story that she's no longer with us. You know, her song, her album is now, like, you know, not, I think the last I checked, I think it was like number 10 on iTunes, and she's now, you know, of course, the people are really kind of buying her music, and kind of, and people who don't know about her are now being exposed to Amy Winehouse and how great she was. So, I mean, so her legacy would definitely live on. I just wish that she was able to continue, because she was only 27, so she had a lot more in her to give. So they are saying that she does have, like, a lot of unreleased music, but they don't know if they're going to release it yet, that kind of stuff. But, you know, I know when I found out, like, I played both of her albums, Back to Black and Frank, you know, over and over again, because as a tribute, and she's amazing. She was an amazing artist. So really sad that she's no longer with us.
Yes, it is. It's really sad. And it's unfortunate for artists that once you pass away, that's when you really hit it big.
Yeah, exactly. How are you doing?
I've been going through my little funk this week. I think a lot of people are going through, like, a funk this summer. Maybe it's the economy. You know, right now there's all this talk in government about having some backup plans for this deficit that we're in. Economic crisis. And I'm not giving any energy into it, but my own personal funk, you know, I like to compare, even though I shouldn't. I kind of, like, try to gauge myself along with how everybody else is doing in life, and it seems like we're all, like, going through some funk or another, and at least in my circle. I know for myself, it's been devastating at times to think about, you know, my life compared to last year and the year before, and I've been doing a lot of personal, you know, assessments and looking inside of myself and trying to make a course course correction and my goals. So, oddly enough, I'm out in the Hamptons right now at a friend's house sitting for them, and I've been catching up on Netflix on their couch. They have a huge flat panel screen TV, which I'm loving. And I've been catching up on Enterprise.
I've been really in a funk. Oh my God, life is so hard. Yeah, I'm in the Hamptons right now, and I'm like watching a huge flat screen. Yeah, okay, you get lots of sympathy right now. Like, yeah, I'm sure there's lots of people who wish right now that they were in a huge house in the Hamptons. Okay, so
it's not mine. It's all temporary.
It doesn't matter. But you're in the fucking Hamptons right now, and some people are, you know, miserable in their own apartments, you know. So you have
okay,
to
girl, keep it real. Let's keep it real here.
You had me up until you were up in the Hamptons. And you're like, oh, man, I'm in Long Island. And I was like, oh, okay. I thought you were in some, like, you know, town. But you're in the fucking Hamptons. Ooh, boo-hoo. Life is just so hard for you. Like, anyway.
Anyway,
before you put your foot in the mouth anymore, I think maybe we should just move on.
Anyway, I've been watching the Star Trek Enterprise series because I stopped watching it when I couldn't afford cable anymore. So I've had the luxury, yes, this week to watch Netflix and watch Enterprise, and you know, sometimes I feel like those Gene Roddenberry shows, they have messages behind them because he was following some type of spiritual path, and a lot of his shows continue on to have some type of spiritual meaning or some message about human morality. It made me feel good. You know, I just finished watching it yesterday, and now I have a little more hope in terms of what I'm doing and having some faith that, you know, stuff like this podcast, it's really going to work out in my favor, my benefit. To some degree or another, and my message, and you know, at least for everyone in this world, you know, we all have a message. We all have some type of song that we're singing that belongs to this bigger choir or orchestra that just doesn't not meaningless. We all, you know, we all have meaning to this life, and sometimes I feel like I don't have any meaning sometimes. And this level of boohoo, and yet I'm in the Hamptons house sitting in this huge house.
I think the best thing is you want to go through life and you want to hope that you have been able to reach people in any way or influence them in any way, or just kind of, it's really about the relationships that you have with people, and so I think that's what, you know, certainly, you know, I think that's, to me, that's a fulfilling life, to kind of know that, you know, you touch someone's life, and it doesn't mean that you have to be famous to do that. It can be anyone can have an impact on someone's life. And just being there for someone, just being a friend or boyfriend or brother or sister, what have you, having that type of impact, that's what it's all about. So we, and Amy Wine has definitely had an impact on my life, so, and millions of other people, so I will allow you to boo-hoo, but, you know, at least you're leaving your impact to our thousands of fans out there listening to us every week.
Yeah, thousands of silent listeners that don't call in or email us. All anonymous. This is Oral Sex Anonymous here.
Exactly. Well, hopefully they'll start emailing us and going to the blog and filling out the widget and all that good stuff. So, are you ready to move on?
I'm ready.
I don't know. I guess we talked about it, and you talked about it in the introduction. So for this week's episode of the podcast, we're going to talk about polyamorous relationships. I was watching something on TV, and it got me to think, you know, could I be in a polyamorous relationship? For those of you who might not be familiar with what polyamory is and what that's all about. It means that it means multiple simultaneous romantic relationships with the knowledge and consent of all parties. In other words, you have more than one lover and everyone involved knows. So, I personally don't know if I could do that. I mean, I know that there's people who are in open relationships and they do that and it happens and it's, and it works out, but I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm still kind of approved in that way that I want, you know, I believe in, you know, that one person, but you know, there's some people who think that you can't get everything from one person and it's crazy for you to try, so why not have several partners? But doesn't it get confusing and it just kind of, I don't know. Could you do it?
That's too complex to me. You know, the first time I've ever, I think maybe after 5 years of being out or so, I was so, you know, content with my life that I wanted more out of the gay community or my gay lifestyle. And, you know, I would have these hidden fantasies of probably, you know, having multiple partners. And that did not include women, just men. And, you know, there are certain times in my life that I continue going back to that first thought that, you know, that maybe I could be in, you know, this threesome and then or maybe even a foursome. And they're popular now, triads, relationships. I don't know if they're considered polyamorous, but, you know, it's more than, you know, two people in a relationship.
I mean, it would be polyamory, yeah.
I think, you know, after a while, if it grew bigger, or, you know, like, what's that show called, Brothers and Sisters? I never watched it, but I've heard of it. is that the polyamorous show on HBO? Brothers and Sisters, I think that's what it is.
No, Big Love.
Oh, it's Big Love. Okay, so you can tell I've never watched it, but I've heard of
it. Oh, it's really good. I mean, they're doing it because they're Mormons and it's all kinds of religious kind of thing. But, you know, I mean, I think that a lot of times, I guess, you know, the thing is that I guess if both parties go into it knowing that, hey, this is what I want. I guess it can work, and maybe just not for me, but I guess it can work for other people. If both people are like, hey, listen, this is how I get down and this is what I'm used to. And if they're used to it and they're together, and so then it's not really a big deal. But I think sometimes when you're with someone, and all of a sudden they start wanting to see other people or bring other people into relationships, into threesomes or kind of stuff like that, a lot of times it just opens up the door for all kinds of drama.
Sometimes there's
always one person that wants it more than the other. So you're kind of going along with it, and that person is going along with it. And so it's not really what you want, but you're like, now I'm in this situation, and it's all this drama, and this person's now sticking his dick in other people, and blah, blah, like all kinds of drama. Like, to me, I don't want all that drama in my life. Like, it's too much. But, so I don't think it could. For me personally, I don't think it's something that I could do. But if it works, yeah, I don't judge other people who can do it. Hey, that's fine, but not for me.
Well, it gets really complex, you know, to the level that, somebody is going to be slighted, and then you're going to have to deal with, you know, the consequences of that. And then, you know, going back to our first ever dating podcast, the episode about, I think it was internet dating, or we were talking about how we talked about it so much on the show, where there's this cookie cutter mentality of, or actually let's move away from the cookie cutter theme here. There's the alpha and the beta. So in a polyamorous relationship, you know, there, I guess, someone has to play that role of alpha, beta, and then what follows after that? I mean, there's this website that, you know, you let us onto zeromag.com, and it has a section of what's polyamory, the do's and the don'ts, and it doesn't really talk about, you know, or I haven't found yet. If anyone finds it, please point it out to me. You know, what are the roles after you pass three, you know, that you start involving four, five, six people in your relationship? Who's the alpha? And, you know, what roles do the other people play? Okay, so are you starting your own social network here? And do you kind of become like the Facebook family? You know, I mean, I'm not.
And do you not get jealous? Like, I mean, I think jealousy is a human, it's a human emotion. People do it regardless if you are overly jealous or whatever. I mean, you can't deny those feelings where you might be like, okay, well, we were together and now we brought this other person in and now you're spending a lot more time with this person. And then, you know, you see that they have a deeper connection and how does that affect you? You know, like there's all those like things that you have to come up with. Like not only are you have to deal with it, the issues that you might have with someone one-on-one, but now you have to deal with the issues that are affecting for three people or even four people. Like it's too much.
Mm-hmm. It is. Jealousy. I can deal to a certain level. Jealousy anywhere, you know, in an intimate relationship or outside of an intimate relationship. When it becomes threatening, life-threatening, and I usually have like this barometer where I know the person is like bordering onto that type of jealousy, I get away. I'm like, I abandon ship, you know, especially if the other person is not willing to work through it with me or whatever it is. And then there's that passive aggressive, you know, attitude also that I'm sure that plays a lot into polyamorous relationships. It says here in polyamory, on the polyamory section of zeromag.com that, and of course, we're not making this the end all be all on facts on the do's and don'ts of polyamory, but, you know, they have some really smart things here to say about it. And it says that, you know, polyamorous relationships don't start by accident. You know, they start because people have need to have them. And that's fine with me. But if you have a need for something, be responsible and willing to work through it. Sort of like what we were talking about in our dating and marriage section of the previous podcast. You know, that when you do get into a relationship, you're accountable and that you know what you're getting into and you want to work through it. And if there comes a point in your relationship that you want out, that there is an exit for you and a safe one. Not one where the other person becomes domineering and won't let you exit from it. Or in this case, you know, if you're having a polyamorous relationship and there's more than three people in it, it becomes a cult where there's no way out and you're forced.
I do think that, you know, there is an argument too that, you know, as gay and lesbians and bisexuals, transgender, that, like, you know, we should not have to feel like we have to use the heterosexual relationship model as the correct model. And I understand that, I get that. But I don't, you know, I don't want to share my person, the person who I love, with someone else.
I'm reading here, this good tip that they're giving at zeromag.com. Don't assume that polyamory will solve problems in your relationship. Relationship broken, add more people, almost never works. Polyamory can be a very potent and rewarding way to improve a good relationship, but as sure as night follows day, it will expose the problems in a relationship as well. It's definitely not a good way to mend a damaged relationship. You know, I think of this polyamory, you know, it's like, you know, a family unit, a polyamory unit of more than three people or three people, you know, it's like a starship. You know, you have a crew that is working towards something, but it's of different dynamics and levels of human morality, I guess, or social structures that you're working with. Does everyone have an agenda? You know, everyone should be on one agenda. And if the agenda is that, you know, we're getting together just to fix it because it's broken, or what happens if something does break?
No, exactly, exactly. Well, I think what you're saying, yeah, like what you said, I mean, I think that sometimes, you know, because if you're in a relationship, you're just seeing someone and you've tried everything, and then now you're like, oh, well, why don't we try having a boy toy or have someone else? Like, that to me, you should be smart about it, you know, whatever. But I don't think I think there are people who are just naturally polyamorous, and they are, that's just kind of their culture and their way of thinking and their beliefs. And so I think there is a difference between us kind of faking it, being fake polyamorous, as opposed to people who really believe that they are, and it could be in committed relationships with more than one person.
Have you ever been in a relationship with more than one person? I mean, have you ever been invited to be a part of a couple's, or to share a couple's bedroom and then life?
No. No.
I have.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. Yeah, no, exactly. I've heard about it. I've heard about, you know, like kind of like the 7-year itch kind of thing. I've heard things, you know, after a while they've been together for a really long time, and then all of a sudden they're like, whatever. But no, I've never done it.
There was this couple in the West Village. That was the East Village. I think I was probably 19 at the time, and I was still working in the nonprofit world, but at night I also worked in the club industry, and I happened by chance to meet someone in front of this one club that I worked for in the East Village, which wasn't the Boy Bar, it was another one. I think it was the Crow at the time. And I met this guy, and, you know, being into older guys, you know, me and him hit it off, and he was into younger guys or whatever, and the chemistry was there, and he invited me to his house one day, you know, exchanged numbers one day, showed up, and we had dinner, and his lover showed up, and, you know, this was like the second time I've been invited into a 3-way. Both of the guys are hot, and we hit it off. It became more than just a sexual relationship. These guys were loaded, and they would go off to other countries to buy antiques and bring it back to. They would go back out. They would go all around the world, and they would always send me postcards, and they would take me to dinner all the time, and we would have dinner in their apartment. And it became so closely knit that I almost got a key to the apartment, and I had that mentality in my head and that picture that I would, you know, my lover would be just one lover, and one lover for life, and it would be a monogamous relationship and not this, you know, triad that I was finding myself in. And it was pretty scary, one, because the guys were HIV positive, and not that I mind it, but I just couldn't see myself living out a life with HIV positive dudes and me being the negative. And something would happen, you know, like that level of responsibility over people. You know, if I'm in a relationship with someone, I think it's something that's universal, you know, that it's a universal law, you know, no wrong would be done to the other person, the other person no wrong to be done for you, and you're mutually take care of each other and as brothers and sisters or whatever. So again, you know, there's this responsibility, or at least this human act of that naturally comes about, that you have to have some accountability towards each other. That can be sort of scary, and you really need to think it out. And I was in that position back then, and I stopped talking to them, and, you know, I just went about my way, and I kind of think about it and I think about them because they're really nice guys, but it wasn't only the fact that they were HIV positive that was starting to play in, but you know, they had arguments over me, you know, like the one guy found me in the bedroom with the other guy and one day, or he found that we were hanging out too much and, you know, he confided in me that the other lover was starting to get jealous and I didn't know what to do. It was really weird. I told him, well, you know, I guess you're going to have to talk to him because I thought we were all in this together. And the guy that was jealous was the guy who initiated everything, who invited me into the bedroom, who took me out to dinner, who, you know, introduced me to his lover. So, you know, I'm all about, most of the times, keeping it simple. So, especially when it comes into relationships with other people, you know, you're giving me drama and you can't take care of it, you know, fuck off. It's like, you know, be rational about it, especially if you started it, you know, and you're not owning up to it. You know, I'm not sold to the idea of monogamy, even though I really like a monogamous relationship. I'm not trying to downplay polyamory here, but I am pointing out the hard aspects to it. And if you're not willing to commit to a polyamorous relationship or to a triad, you know, relationship, these are the things to look out for. And, you know, I think polyamorous relationships could be ideal for certain people who are really committed to it and who have the brains for it or the hearts for it, because it can be exhausting everything, wouldn't you?
Yeah, no, definitely.
So we're going into a break, and everyone, just as a reminder, you can listen to us on iTunes and on Stitcher.com. And you can also listen to us on our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TheOralFix Podcast. And you can also listen to us on SoundCloud.com. So also, you know, if you are subscribing to our show and on any of those sites, please rate us, like us. So without ado, let's go into break and we'll see you afterward.
You know that I'm no good. Upstairs in bed with my ex-boy. He's in the place, but I can't get joy. Thinking on you in the final throes. This is where my buzzer goes. Run out to meet you, cheese and pit up. You said where we're married, cause you're not bitter. There'll be none of him no more. I cry for you on the kitchen floor. I cheated myself like I knew I would. I told you I was trouble. You know that I'm no cheated myself like I knew I would.
And welcome back. That was Amy Winehouse, You Know I'm No Good, by Benny and Gabriel, acoustic live version. Wow, I really, really, I mean, that person, Benny and Gabriel, did a really good job at doing a cover of that song. So, this is the second part of Tit for Tat, and we're going to be continuing on with the theme topic, which is polyamory relationships. Yes, everyone, this is a special episode of the Poly Oral Fix Podcast. Yes, it's the Poly Oral Fix Podcast.
Yeah,
You know, that makes me... That makes me wonder... go ahead.
That makes you wonder. No, go ahead.
It makes me wonder, and do people in polyamorous relationships have orgies?
I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea. But we do have, and of course, as always, you know, the topics that, you know, we have on the podcast, you know, this is just our opinion. These are things that we find interesting. Yes, we're stating what how we feel, but if there's anyone that has any other opinions or are in a polyamorous relationship that works or has any ideas of how to think, please call in, write in, let us know. So this way we can kind of, we're more than interested in hearing your side as well.
For sure. And if you would like to be, you know, a guest on our show, we would love to have you. And also, I would like to know, you know, I mean, I would if I was in a polyamorous relationship. Are they orgies?
I mean, I guess, or it could be each one could have their own boyfriend. So it could be that I could have my own, I could be in a committed relationship with John, and then John could have his own boyfriend on the side, and I could have my own boyfriend on the side, and they don't ever, there is no anything that happens in between us. It's just that I just have my piece on the side, John has his piece on the side. I don't know. Or there could be polyamorous relationships that where it's just kind of a free fall.
Well, that's no. I mean, if they don't know about each other, then it's not a polyamorous relationship.
That they do know about each other. Like they know that they know that I'm in a committed relationship. That I'm in a relationship with whatever, but that we're, you know, because I think there's different. There could be different levels. Not everybody has to be in the same relationship, right?
Right.
So, I mean, there's different, I mean, I guess that there would be different ways that it could work.
Okay.
So, I mean, if my boyfriend John is seeing someone, I don't necessarily, I know about him, as men, we hang out, but there is no connection, there's no sexual connection. Or there's no, I don't hang out with John's boyfriend kind of thing. It's just John and him and me and whoever, David. So, I mean, there could be different ways of doing it. And it could be also ways where it could be me, John, and David, and we're all in a relationship together. And then how that works. Or it could be me, John, David, and Michael, and we're all in a relationship, and we're with each other, sometimes we're not with each other, sometimes, you know, we take turns. I guess there's different ways it can be. It's just all kinds of confusing for me.
It is. I mean, I like simple. I like, you know, knowing where I stand, and that's, you know, those dynamics are just would be a big headache for me. I would like
exactly. And again, I don't knock it. I mean, people who are in a polyamorous relationship, if it works for you, God bless. I don't.
Well,
knock
you know,
it.
Then you have like the power. You know, you have power tripping people also, and you know they would expect you who you know they like to micromanage and. Ooh, imagine that, being in a polyamorous relationship where everyone has to micromanage their feelings because it's the one person and, you know, wants to be dominant or, oh, no. I mean, and then, you know, you have that whole cookie cutter mentality also, that people who do follow cookie cutters, and especially the straight ones, like, you know, polyamorous relationships have been around since the dawn of time. You know, there's a book called, you know, Sex at Dawn, which actually discovers, you know, goes into scientifically and historically the evolution of man through sex. And they found that, you know, polyamorous relationships, you know, are even evident in a woman's vagina. I mean, the woman's vagina over the, you know, the course of human existence has been, genetically modified, not modified, but adapted to accommodate different size of penises. And I would believe that the rectum, it is so, you know, it can actually, you know, accommodate more than one penis or so, because in the past it's been forced to do that because, you know, homosexuality has been around since, or actually the act of anal penetration has been around for centuries. So, yeah. You know, polyamorous relationships were, you know, as the ZeroMag.com facts say, you know, don't happen by accident. You know, falling in love doesn't happen by accident. It just happens. So, you know, anything that ensues after that, oh God, Lord help you.
Exactly. Well, there's also a book, a poly resource book. It's called The Ethical Slut, and we'll put that in our widget. And so it's a
which widget?
Book, so you can, if you're interested in learning more about poly, you know, it's a good place to start. But there's also another article that and that was in the Huffington Post a while ago that, you know, brought up the question that why are gay marriage advocates not defending polyamory and making it seem, and in the article, I mean, he brings up some points of that, you know, that after the passage of, you know, the gay marriage topic, you know, something shifted in gay rights movement. The new normal seems to be that anyone who is opposed to gay marriage for any reason at all is quickly labeled a bigot or hater. And he's saying that, like, you support gay marriage, but don't agree with, you know, with the bigot /hate labeling. To think that, you know, that he doesn't understand why, you know, we as a community we're not more accepting, or we're not kind of becoming more advocate, or not advocating for polyamorous relationships. And so they also said, you know, he used an example that Melissa Etheridge, oh God, is Melissa Etheridge, why can't I say her name?
Get it out, honey, spit it out.
Melissa Etheridge has the right to marry Tammy Lynn Michaels, but I don't think they're married anymore, so it's old, and I think she does. Then Melissa and Tammy also have the right to make it official with David Crosby if they choose to. In fact, if they wanted to marry Cosby, Stills, and Nash, and Young, Lindsay Lohan, Samantha Ronson, Mark Ronson, and Ali DeFranco, it's their choice and their right. And it would make quite a tour too. That's kind of a bit of a joke. But you know, he says that there's no argument you can make against a poly marriage that wouldn't work just as well as an argument against gay marriage. Aside from reasons of consistency, advocates of gay marriage should also be vocally in favor of polygamy, since it allows bisexuals to be actively practicing married bisexuals. Bisexuals are the B and GLBT, but they rarely get the short shift in the marriage decision.
Mm.
So he says, I'm in favor of real marriage equality. Love the one you're with. Love two or more you're with. If you can work that, marry them if you're into that kind of thing. But until the gay marriage movement embraces polygamy, well, they're just acting like bigots and haters, aren't they? So I don't know. What do you think about that?
You know, I just wish that we didn't have to deal with stuff like this. I mean, why can't we all get along? I mean, why can't, you know, why do we have like these social, you know, all these different complex levels, social levels of, you know, and structures, and, you know, why can't, you know, we just do what we want? I mean, okay, I agree with rules and laws, and some of them are necessary, a lot of them are necessary, but this is just, it's getting to be too much.
Do you think that the gay community should embrace polygamy?
Of course it should embrace gay, polygamy in general. We always have been a community that embraces anyone and everyone. That's what makes us who we are. Most of us are colorblind. Most of us you know, don't care what you're doing, just as long as you're not violent and you're not coming after us. Most of us love everyone. And, okay, you know, we all have our differences, but again, that's what makes us popular. We're so universal like that, that we, you know, we let bygones be bygones, most of us. You know, there's a reason why we have on our flag all the rainbows, you know, all the colors of the rainbow. You know, there's some type of harmony that works underneath. You know, this is bullshit. You know, it's like bigotry at its finest here, or politicians. I wouldn't be surprised if some political maniac started all of this. I don't like politics, period. But, you know, somehow or some way, I'm always, somebody sucks me into the threshold of it, and I'm climbing my way back out of it. This is stupid. You know,
if three people want to get married, do you believe that they should be allowed?
You know that the whole idea of marriage is just a real big facade, the way I see it, and it's just stupid, and it's stupid we have to pay taxes to a certain degree. Do I agree? Yes. You know, if we're all going to participate in marriage, why can't anyone get married? Three people want to get married? Why not? It makes us more unique. I mean, there's a different way of, you know, using those tax brackets and applying taxes to people who are in a three-way marriage or it's a big headache. Why are we doing this now?
I don't know. I mean, hey, if you are consenting adults, then if you, I mean, you know, if that's what you want to do, I do think that, it should be your option. I don't know if polyamorous relationships are necessarily going to be part of the gay movement. I do know that, you know, I know that, you know, the gay movement, you know, kind of separates itself from that. And there are people who are straight who are polyamorous, and there are people who are gay who are polyamorous and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it's not necessarily a gay thing. It's more, I don't know if necessarily the gay community needs to make that as part of our, add that to our, you know, long list of things that we're trying to fight for.
I don't think that
we should shun anyone either. I don't think that if you're in a that we should, you know, try to ostracize someone because they are in a polyamorous relationship, or try and make them feel like, oh, we're just trying to make it look bad because we're now trying to be mainstream and, you know, do the hetero thing. So you need to make up your mind. I don't think that's right. I don't think that we should do that to people who are in committed relationships, because they think there are people who could be, there are people who are out there who are in committed relationships with the people that they love, and they're consenting adults. So we shouldn't tell them that their relationship is wrong, because we wouldn't want someone to do that to, I wouldn't want someone to do that to me, obviously. So it is a, you know, debate. I don't know if we need to, if it necessarily is going to be on our next thing that we're fighting for, but we should at least accept it.
Well, yeah, I agree. You know, I guess we're agreeing there. It gets hairy, but, you know, it's another facet of human experience and life, you know, on this planet. And, you know, life's too short. I mean, for all these rules and regulations and boxing people in or ostracizing people, you know, I think, you know, boxes are meant for people who need to be contained. And there are, like, a lot of psycho people out there that belong in boxes, and people who need treatment, or people, you know, serial killers and real, you know, real, like, problematic people that need to be confined and need to be, you know, casted off to a deserted island and manage themselves or something. But, you know, people who are trying to work in this society to build it, or in this country, you know, per se. Come on, people. We're supposed to be above all of this. You know, it's so hard to want a polyamorous relationship. It makes better for lawyers, doctors, and other people in between that they'll be serving them, you know? It's going to push for a better economy in the future, I guess. Come on. It's just dumb. I mean...
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned earlier, I mean, there is a whole lot of do's and don'ts for polyamorous relationships that, you know, if you're thinking about doing that or getting into a polyamorous relationship, it's something to read about the do's and don'ts of doing it. So it'll be in our show notes, so you can definitely check that out. And, you know, let us know what you think. And I don't know. Are you all talked out about the topic?
Sort of. I mean, I really don't have to see, you know, I really don't know anybody who's in a polyamorous relationship. It would be nice to see, you know, what the dynamics are and for them and to see them, you know, live it out. But just for, I guess, you know, just to live through them. But I necessarily wouldn't want to be in it. Or, you know, if I dated somebody who was in a polyamorous relationship, I guess that would be different. But I don't think I would just date them just to then later on to be courted into the, you know, their ring. relationships. I like my freedom, and you know, if I was to share, I mean, I think three would be too much. I mean, I think anything past three would be too much. I still play around with the idea of having multiple partners and maybe just confining myself just to two people. Not that, you know, just to be comfortable with the idea that, you know, I just don't want to be limited to a monogamous relationship. But anything past that, I think would just be too complicated. I couldn't give my heart and my all. I have a real big family, and I have friends, extended family, that you know, I count on for different things that I confide them with and give them my trust. So really, you know, polyamory, yeah, that's really, you know, on Denobula, on Star Trek Enterprise, Denobulians have multiple partners. That's part of their social structure. You're polyamorous.
You need to stop. You're in the Hamptons. You need to stop watching them Star Trek.
I did yesterday. Last night.
You need to go by the water. Maybe it's time for another music break.
It is. So we're closing this off, and hope everyone enjoyed it. Please look at our show notes for links and things that we brought up. So here's some more Amy Winehouse in tribute, in honor of her passing.
We're going to turn now to a major loss in the music world tonight. The gifted singer Amy Winehouse found dead in her London home. She was just 27.
That we know and this regret I got accustomed to. Once was the ride when we were at our height, waiting for you in the hotel at night. I knew I had him at my match, but every moment we get snatched. I don't know why I got so attached. It's my responsibility, and you don't own nothing to me but to walk away. I have no capacity. Thank you. just a man when there's so many real things at hand. We could have never had it all. We had to hit a wall. So this is inevitable withdrawal. Even if I stop wanting you and perspective pushes true, I'll be some next man's other woman. So
okay, welcome back. That was one of my favorite Amy Winehouse songs. That's called Tears Dry on Their Own, and that's the Apple Scruff edit. And so since this week, since our closet is kind of full, we're going to take a little break from Back in the Closet, and we're just going to, since Polyamorous is kind of took over the whole show, we're doing things kind of out of order this week. Next week we'll go back to your regularly scheduled program.
Hopefully.
So this week we're just going to kind of just talk about things that are going on this week that we've kind of found a little bit interesting that we want to make mention. So, Henry?
I thought about exactly what I was saying there. Hopefully we'll get back on schedule next week. The reason why I say that is because Mercury is going to be going into retrograde starting on Saturday. and Drew, what do we not do when Mercury goes into retrograde?
Don't call Henry.
Well, they may be one of the things you don't want to do, but when Mercury goes into retrograde, yes, the planet Mercury, not the god Mercury, when Mercury goes into retrograde meaning that the planet sort of stands still in orbit, and all the planets go in this elliptical orbit around the sun, and Mercury stands still, and when that happens, all hell breaks loose here on Earth, and things like mechanical malfunctions start to happen. Things slow down. Communication goes awry, and literally all hell breaks loose. And Mercury retrogrades for about 3 weeks, four times out of the year, and sometimes even five. Actually, I think it's 3 to 4 times. Things you shouldn't do is, things to expect if you make plans. Remember, they're going to be broken, and you're going to have to repeat them over and over again. Anything that you do, apply the R-E before those words, the actions that you do. So if you're going out on a date, it's going to be possible that you're going to be rescheduling that. If you do buy a new piece of equipment, which I urge you not to, you're going to be, returning it more than once. In a Mercury retrograde, when that happens, you're always constantly redoing, repairing, reinstalling, rescheduling. Mercury retrograde, you should be always, looking forward to tying up loose ends or, taking your time on things. Especially and with money, if somebody owes you money and you're expecting money during a Mercury retrograde, you're not going to get it as soon as you think you're going to get it. That's another bad aspect. So, when it comes to even doing a show, prepare yourself for malfunctions being late, and as this podcast is already starting, being late. When it posts. So, Mercury and retrograde, hopefully we'll survive. That's one. The other is, since I've been on this Star Trek, for all you Trekkies out there, William Shatner, announced, I think it was on the 27th, there was this documentary that he made on all six captains of the Star Trek franchise, all their shows. He interviewed every individual one of them. And I thought that was really interesting. Even the new hot captain from the new movie, Star Trek, that came out from J.J. Abrams, I think that was last year. And through that, I found really weird, wacky. I'm even interested in buying it. I think I will buy it. Or maybe you could buy it for me for Christmas, Drew. This whole line of I found a whole line of Star Trek colognes and perfumes. One is called Star Trek Tiberius cologne, and this Tiberius is Captain Kirk's real name. I think it's James Tiberius Kirk, his middle name. And most of these fragrances, you don't know really what's in them, and this just, you know, baffles me. I would love to know what's in them before I buy them. And these are exclusive colognes and perfumes that you're not going to find in stores like Sephora. So we're going to put them on our Amazon widget. So, you know, if you guys are interested in buying them and you want to support us, and remember, if you buy through our Amazon widget, you're supporting our podcast, because we'll get, you know, a percentage of that. So I'm interested in actually owning this one, Tiberius Cologne, especially after the latest movie, because Kirk is hot and so is Spock. There's another cologne.
So would you be in a polyamorous relationship with Kirk and Spock?
Oh yeah, definitely. I will just until there's no logic to any of the mess there. I think that would be a dream come true. I did tell you about when I was little how I got my mom to make pajamas for my Captain Kirk and Spock dolls. Little did she know that, you know, I want pajamas for them so that they could disrobe each other when they go to bed.
Such a dirty little boy.
So the other one that I found here is Star Trek Sulu, Pur Om Excelsior, men's cologne. And, of course, I would want to own that because, you know, Sulu, the person who plays Sulu, I forget his name. Oh, my God, that's so bad. He's gay.
Sakai.
Yes, thank you.
I'm not even a Trekkie, but
well, you know you are if you know his name. You've watched some Star Trek.
I watch the movies. I definitely am a fan, but I'm not like a, you know, fanatic.
Well, the next one that and I would love to own this one, that I would like to highlight is Parfum for Women. And do you know the Parfum?
No, I have no idea what the hell you're saying.
The Parfum is the Vulcan term for what Vulcans experience when they're in heat and they need to mate. And it's very violent. Like, it's like this rush that comes over them. And it only happens in cycles for them. I think it's every 7-year cycle or something. And they named this cologne after that. It's okay. It's very dramatic. So that's it for Star Trek, and I'll put them on the Amazon widget. Oh boy, I'm all flustered. I really need Panta. The next thing that maybe we should make a segment called Panta.
No, we're not going to do it.
Anyway, the next topic that item that I would like to feature here is. I was listening to Silly Frags, which is a gay gaming podcast, and I became aware of them through Stitcher.com, who their mobile app suggests podcasts according to what other people listen to who listen to our podcast, and I found Silly Frags. It seems like a lot of you guys who listen to us through Stitcher.com, thank you for listening, also listen to Silly Frags. And it's a group of guys who do a podcast, you know, everything's revolving games and gaming and the world of gaming out there. And these guys are really funny, and they sound really cute and nerdy. A lot of you guys who listen to our podcast know that I'm into the geeks and nerds and the hairy guys and older dudes. And these guys are really
geeks
fun.
And nerds and hairy guys and cubs and bears and lions and tigers and you're just interested in any guy.
Oh my. So I was listening to them, and I thought, you know, we should make everyone aware of them, and I think they listen to us also. So, Silly Frags, if you're listening to us, hello to you, and I think you're hot.
Do they have pictures of them?
No, I haven't looked. I guess I'm going to have to put my stalker on and go check them out, Google them. But the other thing I have been stalkerish about is, since I've been out here in Southampton sort of TV and cable, is this show, I've been going on Logo TV, A-List to start all over again, and a whole big drama on that, and I think it's just dumb. But anyway, it's not them that I want to talk about. I want to talk about One Girl and Five Gays. Oh, my God. I have the hots for Yuxa. I mean, I always have had hots for Yuxa, but he's just been the apple of my eye lately, and so has David.
Yeah, I like Yuxa, but he could be a little, like, kind of arrogant and a little condescending sometimes. Like, I think he seemed like he could be a cool guy, but then he seemed like if you disagree with him, that he just kind of, he just has to be right all the time. Like, his way is the right way. And so sometimes he could come across a little like a pain in the ass.
Yeah,
I don't find him attractive, though.
I find him attractive. And I even find that domineering quality that he has attractive. Like, he's almost superior.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But, you know, he's not because, you know, he's on the show. And he's, like, actually, you know, he says nice things about the other guys. And
no, there are moments when he's fine. But, like, when someone says something that's not kind of going along with the group, he can be a little bit much sometimes. And he's like, no, you're not right. Blah, blah, whatever. You can't do this. And blah, blah. Like, it's just like, you know, he could be a little bit of a pain in the ass sometimes.
Well,
like
I guess
he says,
so.
You know, like, he's like, he once said, like, if you have, like, you know, he'll look at your movie collection and judge you based on the movies you have in your collections. And if you have, like, crappy movies in it, then he's blah, blah. Like, you know, it's just, like, certain things like that. He's just kind of like, oh, okay, whatever. F you, you know?
Okay.
You know. But, you know, I guess the other person that I kind of, like, really find attractive on the show, I mean, I think David is cute. But, and then the other person I find attractive is Jake.
Jake? I don't
Jake.
Know. I wonder which one that one is. Jake is another hottie, yes. I was about to mention him, and I totally forgot.
Yeah. I mean, I would love, like, Juan seems like I would love to hang, like, he seems like fun to hang out with. Like, he would be, like, funny to, like, be around.
Santo seems like he would be fun also. He's a hero.
Santo seems like he's a sick people.
What?
He looks like he sees deaf people. he's really funny. And he's just, like, weird to me. Like, he just seems like, I don't know. He just seems like he is just a little off.
Oh, my God.
I
think that's what makes him appealing and probably fun. I mean, that he has, like, this different...
Yeah, I don't know. He seems like he seems a little creepy. He creeps me out a little bit. Like, he creeps me out just a little bit. The only people that I really find, like that are funny and I'm like, oh, I can hang out with them are probably Juan and Jonathan Nathaniel. He seems like a really cool, genuine guy. And David and Jake, I think, are cute, but they seem like they could also be fun. Dean, I don't really know about Dean. Dean seems okay. He seems like a cool guy. He doesn't really annoy me. But Yerkes are really... The only one I don't like is that really, the really gay one, Andrew.
The really gay one? I can't believe you said that.
I know. I'm sorry. He's just really annoying. Like, he's just really just kind of like every... I don't know. He's just really annoying. I would like to throw him back into the closet.
Why?
Because he just always says things that are just kind of like, he just always is just really bitchy and...
Well, that's John Paul. Just, John Paul is always bitchy for some reason.
John Paul, I think, is just a little, like, this kind of... No, I think he just says that's the way he delivers things, but he doesn't seem like I think he has a bitchy disposition, but he doesn't seem like he's that bitchy. I think he seems a little bit more, like, I think feel like if you got to know him, you would get to know that he seems cool. He doesn't annoy me as much as Andrew. Andrew seems really nasty. I can't believe we just went through the whole cast of One Girl, Five Gays.
Well, that's not the whole cast. I mean, there's a lot more, but yeah.
I mean, there's a lot more, yeah. There's a lot more. And then I don't know about the young one, Matt Barker, who I don't really...
Matt?
Yeah, the young one. Yeah, Yerxa always says that he's lying and not telling the truth.
Oh, I haven't met him yet. Oh, I see him now on... I just Googled him. He's kind of cute. He reminds me of John Wan a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Oh my god, I just found a picture of Yerxa in drag. It looks like they had a drag episode. Everybody's in drag here.
Yeah, they did.
They're funny. They look really funny. He shaved his beard. Oh my god.
Yeah, that's all you.
Jake is a hottie also. You know, I'm not into young guys, but if they're hot, if they have something, an appeal, you know, these guys appeal to me. You know, they have that je ne sais quoi. We never even touched on Aaliyah. Do you like Aaliyah? I like Aaliyah.
Aaliyah Jasmine, the host?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she doesn't annoy me. She's cool.
Yeah, she's, I mean, oh my god, is this a picture of... Oh my god!
What?
I just found a picture of Matt Barker jerking off.
Picture of Matt Barker jerking off?
Yes! I mean, like, full frontal and everything. Oh! Oh my god.
Does it look like it was, like, photoshopped?
No, it's a real picture. Oh my god. No, okay. I am so serious here.
Okay, can you email it to me? Not that I like him, but I'm curious as to what it looks like.
We're putting this on our podcast, folks! Whoa! Naked! Oh my god, this is like...
Are you serious?
Can
you send it to me right now?
Right now? Okay, I'll send it to you right now. Okay, so can I move on, or are you looking at the picture now?
No, move on.
Somebody filled out our survey on our widget. Actually, a couple of people, but only one person actually requested some more talk on technology on our podcast. So here we go. I guess, you know, a little snippet. I mean, we promised to have some more, but lately there's been a lot of rumor circulating in the technology world. Everyone knows I listen to all these technology-based podcasts, and my head is always stuck in there. And the iPhone 5 rumors have been circulating more and more as September is closing in on us. It's speculated and believed, and usually when there's so much rumor like this happening and buzzing around in the technology world about Apple products, is usually true. So it seems like the iPhone 5 is going to be appearing, making its debut in September. And my sources like CNET.com and Engadget and TechCrunch are all pointing fingers to a new larger screen, wider, not whiter, but wider iPhone 5. In my recent posts regarding the top 20 features that people are clamoring for in the newest iPhone 5, people wanted to see improved battery life, interchangeable battery. They also wanted to see possibly a new operating system, or at least a new look to the operating system. They wanted notifications, and this is also something that was put together by CNET.com, so this is not stuff that's coming, you know, out of the top of my head. But they also wanted to see a new design, of course, you know, a wider screen, larger screen. There's been some speculation that this is what we're going to see, and it's going to be thinner. Some other people wanted to see a transparent version. And the interesting point about a transparent version to the iPhone 5 is that somebody has developed technology, a transparent battery, which is really interesting. I don't know how that works. So so I don't know. We might see like a Tron world in the near future. But I know for myself, now out of the top 20 things that I would like to see that would make me jump to an iPhone 5 is that if it's first available on Sprint, the Sprint network, because they offer true unlimited data internet connection, and it's not capped. Also, they have like the best prices for internet, text, even calling. If it's, it was on the Sprint network, and if it, there was an interchangeable battery, if there was a larger screen and thinner design, and more customizable, I would definitely switch and jump onto an iPhone 4 and ditch my Android phone. With the Android phone, there's so much customization that sometimes things are not too stable. That's a minus. The battery life is horrible on most Android devices, and it's not comparable to an iPhone. And there's not a closed ecosystem of software, and it's more adaptable, the Android platform. So that's why I'm with the Android right now. Otherwise, and it's not available on Sprint. The iPhone. Otherwise, I would have an iPhone. So that's it. I think that's a wrap up for now. Unless you have any questions.
I do not.
Okay. So take it away.
If you want to contact us, please feel free to drop us a line at. You can email us at oralfixpodcast@gmail.com. You can also visit our blog at oralfixpodcast.blogspot.com. You can also find us on Facebook at The Oral Fix Podcast, as well as Twitter at Oral Fix Podcast if you would like to follow us. And you can also find us on iTunes, as we mentioned earlier, Oral Fix Podcast, as well as on Stitcher Radio as well, at Stitcher.com. So please feel free to, you know, contact us, drop us a line, let us know. We love to hear from you, and it's, you know, it's important for us. So the more feedback we get from you, the better we can make our podcast. So, Henry, do you have any other last final thoughts or final goodbyes? Okay. So now we're going to leave you with Amy Winehouse, Stronger Than Me. This is the N Omega Remix. So have a good rest of the week, and we hope that you enjoyed episode number 9, and look for us next week.
Yes, live long and prosper.
Alrighty, so we'll talk to you soon. I don't care.
stronger.